Have you ever wondered why exactly it is that things usually sound better at home than they do on stage, in auditions, or even in lessons? It's easy to chalk it up to nerves or assume that you just have to practice more or get more performance experience. And sure, those things certainly are part of the puzzle, but a lot of times that's not really the true root cause. If you've been confused by the inconsistency of your performances, I put together a free 4-minute quiz called the Mental Skills Audit, which will help you pinpoint your mental strengths and weaknesses and figure out what exactly to adjust and tweak in your preparation for more consistently optimal performances. You can take the Mental Skills Audit online at bulletproofmusician.com/MSA. That's MSA for Mental Skills Audit. And again, it's 100% free, and it'll take just 4 minutes to get your results emailed to you as a PDF. This is Noah Kageyama, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Musician Podcast. Every Sunday morning, we'll take a look at a new research-based tip or technique to help you practice more effectively or perform better under pressure. And on the first Sunday of every month, I'll have a guest from the music, sport, or research world who will share their insights on how we can all be a little more awesome in the practice room and on stage. Let's say that you have a few short pieces that need to be learned before rehearsal tomorrow, and only a few hours today to practice. How would you approach this task? Would you just dive right in and spend all of your practice time reading through the parts and working out the details? Or would you hop on YouTube or Spotify first and spend a little bit of time listening to some recordings before doing any work on your instrument? In my early Suzuki years, it was always the latter. I did a ton of listening upon awakening, during meals, in the car, and even as I was falling asleep every night. I still remember the little Sony stereo set on my dresser that my mom would turn on and leave running as she left the room after tucking me in. I'm not sure if it's because of all the listening I did, but I did seem to move through repertoire pretty quickly as a little kid, except for the eternity that I spent on La Folia. But even into my grad school days, listening to recordings was always a key part of my learning process when beginning work on a new piece. Whether it was a concerto or piano trio, I always sought out recordings before taking a look at the score or trying to play through it on my violin. My wife, on the other hand, a pianist, was always a look-at-the-score-first kind of person and didn't really like listening to recordings until after she had already gotten the piece into her fingers. However, a few years ago, when faced with a lot of rep to learn for a performance she had to do on short notice, I suggested that she put recordings of every piece on her phone and spend her 16-hour plane ride immersed in an endlessly repeating playlist. She's a quick learner and probably would have been just fine even without humoring my suggestion, but the marathon listening session certainly didn't hurt, and I like to think that it helped her get everything into her fingers more quickly upon arrival. A bit like being able to see what a 10,000-piece puzzle is supposed to look like before trying to put the pieces together. So this leads to an interesting question about the impact of listening on our learning. Is this just an old Suzuki habit that I never let go of? Or does listening to music in the early going actually accelerate the learning process? To see what effect an auditory model might have on musicians' learning rates, a team of researchers recruited 32 instrumental music majors with some secondary piano training to learn a short passage either A, after listening to a recording, or B, without listening to a recording. All students were allowed one 12-minute training session sometime between 8 and 10 p.m., in which they practiced a 13-note melody with their left hand. Everyone was instructed to, quote, play the melody as quickly, accurately, and evenly as possible, but those in the listening group were also presented with a recording of the passage, which they heard 10 times before doing any practicing. About 12 hours later, after a night of sleep, they returned to the lab to see how much of the previous evening's practice stuck. And how did the groups do? Well, both groups improved with practice in that everyone performed the passage more accurately after 12 minutes of practice than they did on the very first try. In addition, both performed more accurately the following morning than they did at the end of their practice session. Which might sound a little surprising at first, but was actually something the researchers expected to find, as continued motor learning after a period of sleep is a phenomenon that has been observed in other studies. Although both groups improved during the practice session, they did not improve at the same rate. The students who heard the recording started out with an average accuracy score of 52.18, and over the course of the practice session, improved to an average score of 99.96, which is a 92% improvement. The group which was not given a recording to listen to started out at about the same level of accuracy, 48.71, but they only improved to an average score of 84.16, a gain of only 73%. And not only did the groups differ in terms of the rapidity of their learning, but the two groups ultimately achieved different levels of performance too. To see what sort of difference in memory consolidation there might be overnight, the researchers asked the participants to come back for another test the next day after a night's sleep. The group which heard the recording, despite no further practice, ended with an average final accuracy score of 108.75 at the next morning's test, an improvement of 9% over the previous evening's performance. The no-listening group improved a little bit too, but only by 4%, finishing with a final accuracy score of 87.24. At first glance, the results of the study seem pretty clear, but it's hard to say from the results what's best in the long term. In the short term, yes, it seems that having an auditory model can accelerate our progress and help us get to a higher level of performance quicker. But does this lock us into a particular way of playing a piece too soon and make it more difficult to develop our own interpretation? Or is this more of a concern maybe for advanced players than it is for beginners? Ultimately, it might be that the optimal approach depends on how much time is available and also one's personal preferences. If this is a question that you're curious about and would like to explore further, it is a topic that came up in the podcast episode with cellist Natasha Brofsky and violist Roger Tapping. And it also came up in conversation with cellist Mark Kosower as well, who noted the importance of listening to multiple recordings instead of just one. If this is something that you'd like to look into, you can find more details about these podcast episodes at bulletproofmusician.com/blog. And if you found the episode helpful, please share it with a friend or practice buddy who you think might also enjoy experimenting with this during the coming week.